From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Well, with the temperatures on the rise again, I'm thinking a lot of folks are going to be staying inside this weekend, and you might be wondering, well, what should I do? Well, maybe turn on the TV. Our Morning Edition host and our resident movie critic, George Prentice, is joining us now. George, I love having you on. How are you?
I'm well, Gemma. Thanks so much for giving me a home to talk about the things that I love.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, can we talk streaming services, George?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, are we overloaded with how many there are?
What I'm going to do, and you and I have talked about this in the past, but today I'm going to ask our listeners to sit down with their significant other or their family, or just sit down with yourself. This will only take a minute or two. You need to list which streaming services you have and how much you're paying. And then I also want you to check to see if your subscriptions automatically update. And the reason I want you to do this is I'd like to go over what's coming up. And the fact is, some services do have brighter days on the horizon, others not so much. This adds up. This is a lot of money. And if you pay for cable, God bless you, but my right. goodness, plus streaming services, this is a lot. So I would like to give you a report card of what's coming up in August. And I think right now HBO is probably set for what should be a pretty good month. In other words, it's worth a subscription. Four words: House of the Dragon. The Game of Thrones prequel, and arguably the most anticipated show of the year, drops this month on HBO. I'd also like to put another plug in for something, Gemma, that you and I talked about last time, and that is the docuseries, The Last Movie Stars, about Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. I can't tell you how many people have reached out to me and said, after listening to us talk about this, how much they loved it. Plus, this coming weekend on HBO, Belfast, which I think was the best big screen film of last year, premieres on HBO this coming weekend. So for the month of August, yeah, I'd give HBO an A+. Disney Plus, if you haven't seen Obi-Wan, yeah, it's swell. And here comes another big Star Wars universe released this month, and that is Andor. It comes to Disney Plus this month. Andor takes us back to just before the Rogue One film, which I think most people would agree was one of the better of the recent Star Wars films. Andor takes us to when the Rebel Alliance first began. So, one more thing. Have you heard about She-Hulk coming to Disney Plus?
Yeah, I saw a preview of it recently.
This looks pretty good. Tongue-in-cheek female Hulk, and she's an attorney. And she's not afraid to turn green and kick butt in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. It looks pretty funny. Plus, Mark Ruffalo is alongside as the original Hulk, and that's on Disney Plus. So I give Disney Plus an A for August. I can't say the same about just about all the rest of the streaming services.
Oh.
Truly, on Hulu, I do enjoy Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez, but that is coming to an end. Bottom line, it's okay to discontinue a streaming service and come back. You haven't broken any law. Believe me, they will take your money again at any time. Number one. Number two, take advantage of trial periods where you don't have to pay. Mm-hmm. And just burn through a series. It's okay. They're trying to get you business. This is what is called, you know, they're shopping for customers. Well, you're the customer. It's okay to stop a service and maybe come back when something catches your eye. Take advantage of trial periods. Cut down on your streaming services. We spend an awful lot of money, Gemma, on these. And I love content as much as anyone, but I honestly think the more I talk to people, they're paying more for quote-unquote television than ever before.
Well, George, here's what we did. I think, well, it was during in the last year, we cut the cord on cable, on satellite.
Uh-huh.
Because I started doing the math on what we paid for that and what we were watching. Because our kids don't watch regular TV. They were watching streaming services.
Yep.
And even adding streaming services, George, we saved, and I think upwards of about $75 a month.
Well, that's a lot, but you have to consider, Netflix is anywhere $10 to $20. Disney Plus is anywhere from $3 to $8, depending on bundles. HBO Max costs $10 to $15. Hulu is $7. Stars runs $9. Then there's AMC Plus, a lot, ESPN. This really adds up. And all I'm asking our listeners to do is truly write down which streaming services you have and how much you're paying, and double check if it's automatically renewing. You should make the decision of whether you want to renew each time. It's really, good consumerism.
And I would say too, George, when you're making that list, make a list of the streaming services you actually watch or you watch the most.
Yeah.
And because you might have some on there that you actually aren't even using.
And even if it's a little bit, is it worth that much per month?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Great advice, George. Especially when folks are on a budget, when we have, everything that's going on with inflation. If you're looking at cutting corners, it's really sound advice to just do something like that. So really glad we talked about that. Okay. So talked about that wonderful documentary last time with Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward, but you have a new documentary that's opening in theaters that we should be aware of.
I don't think many people have heard about this. I think this is a word of mouth film. I think, and you and I have talked about this, I do believe we are in a golden age of documentaries. There is a new film that is coming out called Fire of Love. And I'll tell you that as far as the team behind it, it is part of the National Geographic Documentary Unit. It is the story of Katya and Maurice Kraft. They are volcanologists. In other words, they study volcanoes.
Yeah.
Scientists, filmmakers, authors. The film is poetic. They filmed all of these volcanoes all over the world. That was almost, the third person in this trilogy, and this love trio. They adored each other, but for some strange reason they adored volcanoes, but they were scientists and they filmed them all, but the films had never been digitized. It's no big spoiler to tell you that Katya and Maurice died in a volcano. If you were to type in their name, it's the very top of their bio. But this film, It's not about their death. It is truly about their life. I'm going to share a few moments with you. They are from Alsace, so they speak French. But you can hear as they walked around volcanoes how ethereal and poetic they were. Let's listen.
When you could die at any moment, what do you leave behind?
J'ai vu tellement de belles choses. Eh bien, j'en ai vu tellement que je suis plus que centenaire, franchement, dans ce que j'ai pu vivre.
I will try a translation here. I've seen so many beautiful things. I feel like I'm over 100 years old with what I've experienced. So frankly, I go without fear. I would do anything to keep living like this.
On fait tout ensemble, là, Maurice et moi. On peut pas travailler là sans l'eau, je pense.
And Katya says, I follow him because I know if I'm going to die, I'd rather be with him. So I follow.
Là où lui passe, moi je passe derrière.
And then came June 3rd, 1991, and the eruption of Japan's Mount Unsan, well documented in print. But what we witness is Katya and Maurice's last moments on this planet.
We hope always, but we cannot be sure, and we don't know nothing. You have big blocks on the top and they have to come down, but when?
Just after 4 p.m., it starts to rain. Ash blows in on a north wind. Something seems different this time. The mist obscures their view, so Katya and Maurice push closer with their friend Harry Glickin to get a better shot.
That is the sound of all hell breaking loose. The interesting thing about Mount Unson and the 1991 eruption, yes, a number of people died, but thousands of people survived. Let's listen.
Near the site of the surge, the marks on the earth indicated that Katya and Maurice were next to each other. Two items were recovered. A camera and a watch, its hands forever frozen in time at 4:18 p.m. Just over the East China Sea.
It turns out that about 30,000 people were evacuated because the government had studied Katya and Maurice's previous films about evacuations. So indeed, their work did save people. Gemma, if possible, if you're near a laptop or a phone, type in Fire of Love, and you will see images from this film. You have never seen images like this before, up close of volcanoes erupting. It is breathtaking. You cannot not see this film. They are stunning images, never before seen. Yeah, the film is called Fire of Love. It is one of the best documentaries I've seen in many, many years. It opens a week from Friday at the Flix. And again, for our listeners, chances are you'll be the first person to hear about this, so you'll tell someone else about this. Please check this out, or just go online and look at the trailer. Look at these images of Fire of Love. They are breathtaking.
So we have to switch gears now, George.
Yep.
And talk about some 80s reboots.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's lighten up here. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, George, snap out of it. Well, the big news is that Selena Gomez and Jake Gyllenhaal are reviving a couple of 80s classics. We are told that Selena Gomez is going to be doing a revival of the 1988 comedy Working Girl.
Really?
Remember Working Girl with Melanie Griffith and Harrison Ford?
Uh-huh.
Selena Gomez is going to do that. Jake Gyllenhaal, this one's a bit odd. He is set to star in a reimagined take of Roadhouse. Remember with Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, we're told that Jake Gyllenhaal will play a former UFC fighter who takes a job as a bouncer in the Florida Keys. Well, there's one movie from the 1980s I truly hope that no one ever remakes. From 1984, I still get a kick out of Footloose and Kevin Bacon.
Oh, I love it.
Don't you love it? So
love it.
But we learned this week, did you know that the first cut of Footloose, the film, didn't end with that big dance? The original film... Kevin Bacon's character says, everybody dance, and then the film went to slow motion and faded out. Well, the first test audience looked at each other as like, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
So dance. They came back and refilmed what is now that infamous scene.
Hey, oh, hey, my. What's this scene? I thought this was a party. Let's dance!
Yeah, Footloose, right? I mean, Kevin Bacon all these years later. But believe it or not, one of the most iconic scenes in films was a retake.
Not going to happen.
I mean, that film would have been the biggest dud ever. But the audience said, well, yeah, we want to see them dance. So it turns out that almost didn't happen.
They just can't redo Footloose.
No, I'm sorry, please don't. Please don't do that.
Just please don't.
Yeah.
Just don't. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone.
Yep.
All I have to say. All right, George, before I let you go, a musical legend tribute, please tell me more.
Absolutely. August 14th, 1 week from Sunday at the Idaho Botanical Garden, Bonnie Raitt will be performing with Mavis Staples. Mavis Staples, 83 years old. So I pulled something out of the vault. When Paul McCartney was being honored at the Kennedy Center, how do you honor Paul McCartney? Well, they brought out every big singer in the world and they sang Beatles songs. But then James Taylor came out and sang a few notes. And then he introduced the one and only. Let's listen. Paul McCartney cried his eyes out, as you can imagine. Mavis Staples began performing in 1950. She and her sisters and father performed at John Kennedy's inauguration. She is still getting it done. She is 83 years old. She's coming to Boise with Bonnie Raitt 1 week from Sunday. Bless you, Mavis Staples.
Well, George, as always, I could talk to you all day, but alas, we have to end the show. So, as always, just thank you so much for all the recommendations, George. Just appreciate you so much.
Stay cool, Gemma.
I'll do my best. We've been talking to the one and only George Prentice. He is, of course, our Morning Edition host and our resident movie critic. I want to thank all of you for joining us today. Our senior producer is Samantha Wright. Our assistant producer is Hannah Gardosky. Our theme music was written and produced by Boise musician Will Hall. If you have a question, a comment, maybe an idea for the show, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Our executive producer is Paul Stribling and Tom Michael. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It's Friday. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.
In time of trouble, Mother Mary.